It's the Real Estate Podcast, brought to you by ANZ Home Loans for financial well-beings.
And welcome back to another episode of the Real Estate Breakfast as we cover the very latest in property news. Yes, we're doing that every morning, 7 days a week. And you can catch us on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcast, as well as Amazon. And we are off to Sydney to catch up with Veronica Morgan again from Good Deeds Property Buyers. And good morning, Veronica. Good to get you back on the podcast because we had such a busy time last time talking about, of course, buyers agents heading the market. Boy, what a lot of ground you managed to cover in about 13 minutes.
Hello, Craig. Thanks for having me back. I do tend to speak fast, I guess. I have a lot to say.
You know, just thinking about that, there was one question before we get on and talk about what we're talking about today, and that was in terms of somebody engaging with a property agent. You know, there's potentially some cowboys out there. I think I can use that word.
You can.
How would somebody best navigate to make sure that they're getting somebody with actual experience and somebody that has got more experience than they have?
Yeah, it's a really good point. And look, there's a few clues on their bios on their website. So, and I'll tell you one thing that I think is really important. They need local experience because if you think about it, if you try and spread yourself too thin, you're really not going to be adding enormous value or insights into any particular local market. And yet, if you think about every single area has its quirks, has its little things that the locals know, they know what to avoid, they know what to buy, what not to buy, and they know what they want to buy and what they don't want to buy as well. You don't want to be buying a dud, right? And so you need a local specialist who really understands all of that and has all those relationships with local agents. But you also need somebody who's had real experience. Now, a lot of the websites you see for buyers agents and you read their bios and they talk about their property experience. And what they're referring to oftentimes is how long they've owned a property for or owned a number of properties for, if they're bragging about how many investments they have. That's not the sort of experience I'm talking about. I'm talking about professional experience in the real estate industry. And so really what I'd be looking for if I was looking for a buyer's agent, and I would if I was looking at buying in an area that I'm not a local specialist in, I want somebody who's got at least 10 years experience. And if they don't, then the principal in the agency that they're working has at least 10 years experience. Because over 10 years, you get to see cycles going up and going down, the worst of the markets, the best of the markets. And they really do get those insights into what makes a good asset and what you should push yourself for versus what you shouldn't push yourself for. So that's local experience, at least 10 years experience. And then the third thing, a buyer's agent needs to have a really rigorous and thorough due diligence process. And if they can't explain how that works in their total buying process and show you and demonstrate to you the rigor that they apply to assessing a property they're recommending to you, then I would run a mile.
Yeah, it's a really good point in terms of what you said earlier, and that is, you know, somebody talking about their property portfolio. They may have bought a property at the age of 18, 19, 20. They started off early. They've got 5, 10, 15 properties. They're doing very well. And to the earlier comment from the other podcast that we talked about all of this, you were talking about the marketing. So if you take that first part about experience and portfolios, and then you merge that into some very clever social marketing, and suddenly you can see why people are seduced by this person knows what they're talking about. They've got a hell of a lot of experience. I'm going to go with them.
Yeah. And the problem is that a lot of these people who have amassed, you know, high numbers of property quantity over quality is that they very rarely demonstrate benchmarking. They don't actually even know how to benchmark property performance. And they often use the wrong metrics. And yield, for example, the rental income is the wrong metric. property is a capital growth asset. It needs to be a long-term asset. There's other ways to get income from investing without the risk that property represents. And that is where you go to a financial planner and get more holistic advice. So a lot of people are chasing the wrong things when it comes to property, and they're using the wrong metrics, and they don't actually know how to properly measure performance of a property portfolio. And so they look at the metric of volume of properties as owned as being a marker of success, whereas it could actually be hiding the truth, and that is that they don't have very good assets that haven't been growing in value. So there's a lot of, I guess, myths around that. And, you know, I was just talking actually earlier today, I was having a momentum session with my buyer's agent mentoring clients, and we were talking about the pitch of an experienced buyer's agent versus a newbie who is coming out with all these silver bullets, all these quick ways to quickly get, you know, lots of properties, and what feels like to a lot of people who don't know better, that is the pathway to property success and to wealth. It's not. And so if they don't know how to select really good assets that perform really well, they're going to fail, and it will take them years to work it out, and then there's opportunity cost. So we're not in the business of selling silver bullets, but a lot of buyer's agents, unfortunately, are out there selling silver bullets.
Yeah, I just wonder, because to use an analogy, if you look at what is happening in the United States politics at the moment, you've got red and blue. And people identify, if you're talking about their story, that's great. You're welcomed in. If you're talking about something on the other side, they don't want to know about it. It's not in their lane. And I just wonder whether or not when these new buyer's agents, they go into these meetings and they're listening very carefully to what the vendor is saying. And they think to themselves, okay, I'm going to go into their lane. I'm going to talk about exactly what they want me to talk about. And that's always a danger, isn't it?
It's a huge danger. And one of the things I like to get new buyer's agents thinking about is, do I want to be an order taker or do I want to be a trusted advisor? Now, if I'm going to be an order taker, I'm going to go into those meetings. I'm going to tell people what they want to hear. You know, they're going to tell me what they want and I'm just going to go and find it. I'm not going to really worry about assessing it, analyzing it, working out whether it really does suit their long-term needs, really digging down to it, working out what the problem they're trying to solve in the first place is so that we can actually advise them and get them in the right direction. Whereas a trusted advisor is going to ask a hell of a lot of questions and is going to advise people to do things and perhaps purchase property that they hadn't thought of as being good assets is because they're using, as I mentioned earlier, the wrong metrics. And so, you know, it contravenes the idea that, for example, people talk, you've got to diversify, you've got to spend less money on each property, diversify across a lot of markets. And, you know, that does make sense when you think about it, you know, in terms of when you're looking at comparing property to other assets. Like if you're buying shares, you can do that. But property is a lumpy asset and each one you buy has a chance to be good, bad, and indifferent, right? And so you want to make all your dollars work really hard when it comes to property, and you are choosing each individual asset for its own merits. You start breaking down your budget and buying substandard assets just so you can say you're diversifying. It's a recipe for disaster when it comes to property investment. And yet that is a common portfolio building sort of scenario. That's the sales pitch, because the volume of property I own sounds like the metric I should be chasing, instead of actually owning quality assets that go up in value.
Yeah, and it kind of leads us in beautifully to talk about whether or not you should engage your reading skills to a higher level and read through a contract of sale before purchasing real estate in Australia, because many people just fail to do the basics.
Well, and this is the thing, and I mentioned when we met, you know, previously that the legislation, property legislation, is different in every state and territory in this country. So the contract of sale in New South Wales, for example, is vastly different to a contract of sale in Queensland. And so everybody buying in whatever jurisdiction you are buying in has to understand the what's called vendor disclosure. So that is what a vendor has to provide to you, or the information they need to provide to you to comply with legislation. And so the agent, the selling agent, obviously would hand that information to you as a prospective buyer. You've got to understand what that is, but you've also got to understand what is not disclosed, what they don't have to disclose. Because buying a property in Australia is governed by this principle called CAVET-MTOR, which is buyer beware. And that means the responsibility is on you, the buyer, to do your due diligence and to read the contract and engage a conveyancer or solicitor to advise you on that contract before you enter into it. Too many people go and buy a property and then take the contract to the conveyancer or solicitor and say, well, I've just gone and bought this. Can you sort it all out, you know? And it's appalling because it's like you've got no idea. I mean, look, I can pick contracts apart. I'm not a lawyer, but I do know what to look for in a property contract and I understand where the red flags are and the things to discuss with the lawyer. But I would never make an offer on a property without having the lawyer or conveyancer run through that contract and advise on it. Now, in some places, you can make conditional offers. So you need to be able to make sure that those conditions that you put forward are written properly so that they properly cover you and protect you. And so people are very cavalier about this and they're not reading this material and they're not understanding what the material tells them and they're not understanding what's missing from it and where they need to get advice and when they need to get advice.
And the really big takeaway, of course, is never, ever try and do due diligence after you have signed a contract. You are trying to reverse engineer the whole process.
Oh, and it's so mortifying to hear the amount of times when it happens. And I just want to pull my hair out thinking, what on earth were you thinking? But yeah, doing the due diligence after you've signed the contract, after you've entered into a contract that you cannot get out of, right? You do the due diligence then. All you're doing is hoping that you didn't miss something.
Well, my grandfather always used to say, when is a contract not a contract? And the answer is when you haven't signed it.
Well, there's also consideration, you know, in terms of paying a deposit and whatever. But, and once again, though, knowing when you are bound by that, the terms of that contract, or when you've entered into a binding agreement, that is really important. And that point at which your offer becomes binding is different in every state and territory, as I mentioned earlier. So as a buyer, you have to understand when you are basically, I liken it to going through the turnstile to go into a stadium, right? Once you've gone through this turnstile, you can turn around, you can see where you came from, but you can't go back out there, right? And that's a bit like signing a contract or passing that point of when it's binding. And you've got to know what you're committing yourself to. I tell you what, on one of my podcasts, which is called Your First Home Buyer Guide, my co-host and I, we dissect some of these news stories that hit the press with the woe is me, terrible, sad stories about people who have got themselves into terrible pickles with property, and we pull them apart. And almost every single one, in fact, I don't think we've pulled one apart where this wasn't the case, where if they had done their proper due diligence and understood the terms and read that contract before entering into it, they would never have got themselves into that problem.
Yeah. So common sense out there when it comes to contracts, make sure you understand exactly what it is that you are signing up for. Hey, Veronica, I feel as if we could talk all morning, but we've got other things to do. Great to chat again. Enjoy your day and look forward to chatting again soon.
Thanks so much.
Let's explore together the power of real estate. We keep you better informed and updated.
Matthew, I want to talk about the construction industry because all sorts of different issues that you've had in WA. What do you think is likely to happen as the appetite for construction returns?
Look, it's probably hard to say at this stage. I guess on one hand, we definitely need more stock, as we know, but I do wonder how the building industry is going to cope with increased demand. Obviously, there's a lot of historical state and federal government grant jobs that are still being finished off at the moment, but construction workers are still in short supply. So I'm concerned that with the impending increase in demand, it might push us back to where we were in recent years with timeframes to build blowing out again and demand then decreasing again as a result.
Gain insights with exclusive conversations from real estate professionals about buying, selling, and investing across Australia. We connect you to the best real estate information across Australia, The Real Estate Podcast.